Here's Dave Neitzel and Tom Cotroneo.
It's going to be a tough couple of hours, days. But I think it's important, as we were just listening to Wilde and Tausch as well, that we celebrate somebody that we're never going to come across again. Somebody that was the voice of a baseball team for 50 plus years and is that through line and that connection for so many people. And for so many people that never even knew him. I'm one of those people. I'm Gabe Neitzel along with Dominic Cotroneo. As we're going to be with you here until 2 o'clock and the start of KBN on ESPN Wisconsin. I met Bob a couple of times, Dom. Never really, you know, had a chat with him, never really got to know him. But as a kid who has spent 38, almost 39 years in Wisconsin, my entire life here, I've known nothing other than Bob Uecker. When it comes to baseball, something that I love and something that so many other people love.
Well, you said that earlier as well to one of our other teammates here. It's like, well, you're not the only one.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't matter if you're 35 or 75. You know, you kind of only know Bob Uecker. And to be the last of his kind, to be 50-plus years in one place, there's the story of the Yankees and Steinbrenner trying to take him away. And we want you to be the Yankees guy. And this is the peak of his powers. You know, this is, you know, movie star, Belvedere, Johnny Carson, all of it. And he's like, nope, always came back to Milwaukee, always came back to baseball. It's hard to sit and try to make a point about Bob Uecker and just sit back and smile about the lives he touched. And it's one of those things that I think it's very important to note that Bob was a player that happened to be good at broadcasting, not a broadcaster that happened to know a little bit about baseball. And I think that distinction was very important to Bob, that he was always, remember, he played in the show. Doesn't matter how self-deprecating he was about that career in the show. He played in the show. He played with Hall of Famers. He won a World Series. And man, I just rewatched the Hall of Fame speech from 2003 once again, and every single bit that he did plays today. Every single one of them. He was one of one, needless to say, the best to ever do it in his style. It goes 1A, Vin Scully, 1B, Bob Uecker, and there is no debate beyond that.
And they did it so differently. And, and the other thing that makes Bob one of one, as I've had these last couple of hours to think about it, Dom, I mean, yes, I mean, him and Vin Scully, and I mean, Vin started when he was like in his 20s and the Dodgers were still in Brooklyn for crying out loud. But for Bob to do this for 50 years, but how many other broadcasters have as many touch points as Bob does? Like, you go on your social media timeline, whether it's X, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, you're going to find so many different people telling stories, whether it's Al Michaels telling stories about Bob and him and Howard Cosell, or, you know, he was on Johnny Carson God knows how many times. He was on a sitcom, for crying out loud. Like, he was one of the stars of a sitcom, and he has all these touch points. He's a baseball Hall of Famer. He is a WWE Hall of Famer. He transcended so many different things and had all these touch points, and we were all fortunate here in the state of Wisconsin that ultimately he would always come back to us, and he became the soundtrack of so many summers and so many connections that families have through Bob and his storytelling and his broadcasting. That's what makes him one of one. And if I'm being honest, I don't know if, again, I met him a couple of times. I don't know if I'm sitting here, if Bob Uecker isn't the play-by-play voice of the Milwaukee Brewers. And he's that good. And I'm growing up listening to him. Oh, I want to do that. That seems like fun. Because that's how I wanted to get in. I wanted to be a baseball broadcaster, right? I was fortunate enough to do it for a handful of years for the Madison Mallards, and my career path took a different way. But that's what I wanted to do at first. That's why I wanted to get into sports, because my love of baseball. And if I trace it all the way back, I can probably trace it all the way back to being a kid, listening to Bob, and just all those summers of having that through line. Baseball broadcasters, and this is no offense, because we got other great broadcasters in for a lot of the different teams we have here in the state of Wisconsin. We're very, very fortunate. But because baseball is daily in the summer, especially when you're a kid, right? Like you've got summers off, and it just creates this through line, and it creates this connection that it's hard to replicate in other sports, right? Wayne Larrivee is a tremendous broadcaster for the Packers. They have 17 games over the course of a handful of months, where with Bob, it was every single day. And there's a routine and a comfort in that. And because baseball is what it is, we all feel like we got to know Bob because he did it for 50 years. But because there's a lot of downtime in baseball, Bob got to show off his personality, who he was, his sense of humor. And man, the way he could connect with everyone here, not just in Milwaukee, but the state of Wisconsin, that's a hard thing to do.
In the humility of it all, I think Milwaukee kept him grounded in a way. And he always was proud to be Milwaukee's son, if you will, and was always saying, I'm staying here in Milwaukee. And then when the Braves had signed him, he was honored to be his hometown team and Milwaukee public schools. I mean, this man is proud to be a Milwaukee native and gone, obviously, from our lives. But at the same time, you felt that passion and that energy because sometimes when you're a fan listening to any game, right? If I'm listening to a Colorado Rockies game tonight, I don't have a connection there. But if somebody in Denver was listening to Bob Uecker calling Brewers baseball, there's something clicked. Mm-hmm. And you can't quite put your finger on what it was. But man, there was something magic. There was a twinkle. There was just something a little more with Bob. And I know you didn't really get the chance to know him. I don't want to sit here and say like we were best friends, but calling him a colleague for the 4 years I've been here now it's insane. I as a baseball nerd and a nut, as somebody that when I first met him, I'll tell the story quickly, is that 2021 was my first season here with the Brewers. And I wasn't on the air yet. I was still working on the television side. But remember 2021, nobody was traveling still.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of empty space in the ballparks and everything. But we finish a home game. And because of the protocols and everything, we have to walk far away and go down to the special elevator, whatever. And I'm walking with Brewers voice Brian Anderson. And I hadn't met Bob yet because, you know, we're all being careful in 2021 at that time. And elevator door opens. There's Bob. And me, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Yeah, here's the moment. I know I met Bob when I was younger, but that's like 13 years old.
Sure.
That's different. That's spring training. Everyone's in a different mood. But I'm like, all right, here we go. I'm about to be in an elevator with Brian Anderson and Bob Uecker. Don't mess this up. And Bob couldn't have been more gracious. And BA was very kind with his introduction to me to him and began a small friendship of Bob and I. And I always just sort of admired from afar. I just watched Bob interact with everybody. Everybody always wanted a piece of Bob. And I think the greatest thing about Bob, especially with the players and with the media and everything, was that he made a piece of his time for them too. He understood. He got it. And I think that as I remember my last moments with Bob was in the booth at the end of game 3 last year. And I think of Robin, I think of Judy, I think of Bob Jr., I think of Sue Ann, I think of everybody who still was in his life at that point. But man, there was a heavy air that day, and yeah, we all knew. And the day has arrived, unfortunately, and I just know that Bob is healthy again, and I know he's chopping it up with all those big leaguers up there in heaven right now.
And well, and they're they're gathering around because he's got all the best stories.
Mm-hmm.
And you had that feeling the way that, especially when you saw someone like Christian Yelich, the Oof. Way he was talking and reacting after that game 3 in the locker room. But we want to be here today, and we've reached out to a handful of people. We're going to have some people sharing some great stories, including longtime Brewers radio engineer Kent Sommerfeld is going to be coming up in just a little bit. But I do want to get out on the phone lines here to Mike in Menominee Falls. Mike, a friend and a golfing buddy is of Bob. Mike, thank you so much for calling in and being willing to kind of share a couple of thoughts.
You know, I think, so, let me on. I've been listening to everybody and all the people that have been basically crying. They don't even know the guy. And
yeah.
I've had a chance. I was an elected guy in our community for a long time. And so I don't know if anybody knew, but Bob Uecker has lived in Menominee Falls exclusively since 1962. He bought a small three-bedroom, bath-and-a-half ranch out in a very rural part of the community. He stayed there from 62 until 1993. He came in front of my committees in the building area, and it was a closed session. There's Bob. What are you doing here? I mean, he said, well, I'm going to build a new house. It's a gate right on the North Hills Country Club property area. And so I got to know him really well because he built himself a very nice home for he and Judy. And he's just a great guy. So as time goes on, his next door neighbor happens to be one of my very best friends, my golfing partner with two other people in the Lombardi Classic for like 10 years straight. And so on Fridays, it was just the playing participants and a celebrity, and allowed the celebrity not to have to worry about signing autographs and all the other stuff. So Bob, because being a next-door neighbor of the Schraders, he was our golf partner for 6 straight years on a Friday. And I'll tell you what, this guy was amazing. What you see on TV, that's Bob. He was the most down-to-earth, friendly, gracious guy. And when he'd slice one, all the four of us would just get up in a circle in front of him and say, just a little outside. And he'd laugh his butt off. And he was the kind of guy that didn't want to be showy. When he came into North Hills, he was very discreet, didn't make a big in the entrance because he didn't have to, because Bob was Bob. And he's one of the nicest people I've ever met. And Judy came along several times, and she's had her bouts with the problem of cancer as well. And he's just the most gracious, magnificent, nicest person. And with all of his success, everybody's told about all the people he has touched in his life. When you met Bob the first time, he was the first one to tell a joke about how stupid he was or how he made a clumsy move or whatever it was. He was the most deprecating person I've ever met, and he's the most gracious and honest and forthright people that you could probably ever imagine in your life. And he is going to be sorely missed by me, and a lot of other people have had a really intimate relationship with the guy, and he's more than a treasure, and he's more than one of a kind. And I'm an old man, too, and very difficult not to hold back tears talking about him because he's not going to be with us. Although, if we keep thinking about him, we keep talking about him, he'll never leave us. And thanks for giving me an opportunity to let you know about a guy that's touched me pretty much a lot of ways in my life and given me an opportunity to have a great time with a great person. Thanks much, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Mike. And when I think of North Hills I've been fortunate enough to be involved with the Vince Lombardi Golf Classic that's been going on out there for over 50 years at this point. And Bob was always one of the celebrities to participate. And even these last few years when, you know, the health maybe prevented him from swinging a golf club, he'd still go out there and be a part of the foursome that was, you know, put up the price to be able to play with Bob and at least ride along for 9 holes and be Bob Uecker and still give people that experience. And I know there are a lot of community events that he didn't publicize them all, but he outside of baseball, he also did a lot for the greater Milwaukee community as well.
So much. And I think of his family has been struck by tragedy in the past, too. I think of all those causes that he's helped with, specifically with the ALS Foundation. And I think of all the people that he understood his stature in this city. He understood the impact one little thing he could do when he would appear at a banquet or when he would be asked to be a guest speaker at something. He'd always be willing and able to help out those in need. And I think that's what is going to be the main memories of Bob Uecker.
Longtime radio engineer Kent Sommerfeld going to be joining us and sharing his memories and stories of Bob Uecker as we continue on ESPN Wisconsin.
Rest in peace, Mr. Baseball. The voice of the Milwaukee Brewers, Bob Uecker, has passed away. Celebrate the life of a legend right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Look at me.
Remembering a legend today here on ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Gabe Notch along with Dominic Catronio. Bob Uecker passing away today at the age of 90. We welcome in somebody that I didn't know, but I knew who he was because I listened to Brewers games for so long. And of course, you hear this guy's name as part of those Brewers broadcasts. So when I was fortunate enough to join the Marquette broadcast team and doing the pregame and halftime like I've done for the past 10 years, wait, I get to work with the Kent Sommerfeld? Mm. That guy, Kent Sommerfeld? Of course, we welcome in Kent to the show. Kent, thank you so much for the time and jumping on, because everybody knows who you are, even if no, you know, because of Bob saying your name for all those years.
Well, I must have made a lot of mistakes that he had to get on me for all those years. He mentioned my name, but no, thanks for having me on, guys. Unfortunately, under these circumstances, but a sad day for a lot of people. I mean, in the state of Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, and around baseball all around. I mean, Bob has meant so much to so many people and left so many memories with people, whether it be stories and time spent, time shared together. He was truly, truly one of a kind, and he will be sorely, sorely missed, but greatly appreciated for the time that he was here, the time that he provided to Milwaukee and the fans and the baseball people, all the things in baseball and what he did, and the things he did off the field. I mean, he did a lot of stuff that really wasn't recognized because he didn't want it to be recognized. You know, he just did it quietly, whether it was, I mean, I remember times when he had a heart issue, and he would call heart patients, and he would, hey, how you doing, and walk them through it, saying you'll be okay. You know, he didn't have to do that. He did that on his own, privately, and he didn't want any recognition for it, but that's who he was. And, you know, all the other stuff, whether it's, you know, Make-A-Wish Foundation, the veteran stuff, he was big on veterans and police and stuff. He had served in the Army. So it's just an amazing life that Bob had. I mean, he had many, many moons in his life, and he lived truly, truly a rich, rich life.
I mean, you two go back to 86, if I'm not mistaken, right, Kent?
Correct.
When you first arrived, and take me into that first day. You've set everything up, you've triple-checked it right, and the first time that Bob slams that cough button and you're holding your breath, making sure you set everything else up right, right?
Yeah, you're making sure that cough button works. As you guys know, those cough buttons can be lifesavers. And for people listening, a cough button mutes the mics if you want to say something off the air, which might be a little colorful, to say the least. That is muted, and Bob had used it, and many, many announcers use it. But I remember the first meeting, Dom, actually. Here I was. I was living in Abilene, Texas, working at an NBC television station, and got the call to come over to work for the Brewers. And, you know, I was a Brewers fan growing up. I grew up in the Milwaukee area. I remember going to games as a kid at County Stadium, sitting in the bleachers for $2. I remember a game where Don Money hit a grand slam against the Yankees, and Billy Martin was the manager, and it was a heavy downpour late in the game, and Don hits the home run. Billy claimed he called the timeout, and he got the umpires to agree with it, so they erased the grand slam that Don Money hit, and the Brewers ended up losing the game. But the first meeting I ever had with Bob, he sat me down, and we were just talking. I had really never met him before, you know, and this was even before we had a game together. We were down in spring training having a dinner, which was an annual thing. Before spring training ever started and game starts, we would have an annual dinner with all the announcers. And at that time, it was Pat Hughes, myself, and Uke. And we were at a place called Don and Charlie's. I'm sure, Don, you know it well, and so do a lot of baseball fans. It was a big, big baseball restaurant for a long time. And, you know, one of the first things he said, you know, he made some jokes and laughed, and then he said, you know what, we're going to work together. We're going to have a job to do, but we're going to have a lot of good times along the way. We're going to entertain, and we're going to have a lot of laughs. And even through last year, and it would have been this year had he been here, the laughs have still been continuing to this day, and they always will be. I mean, he just had an innate sense of making people laugh. His humor, whether it was self-deprecating humor for himself, you know, in his act on stage, or whether it was, you know, just talking to people, his humor was unbelievable. He may be the quickest witted man I ever met to come up with something just off the cuff, just reactionary to a word or something someone else said to him, whether it was in an interview or just talking to him. It was unbelievable. But he said, we're going to have fun and we're going to enjoy it, and it's going to be a good ride, and I was still on the ride with him for 39 years until today.
Kent Sommerfeld, longtime Brewers radio engineer, joining us here on ESPN Wisconsin. And on this Carbless Talk and text line, I've got somebody who brought this up. And I was not listening during this game, so I must have missed this. Mm-hmm. But Matt says, I remember when Bob found out that Kent Sommerfeld's high school nickname was Bones. He questioned Kent during the game. OMG, so funny. I'll never forget that. What was Bob asking you after he found out that your high school nickname was Bones?
Well, he really wanted to know the source of it. And, you know, it was just because I was a smaller person, you know, so it was Bones because that was short for something else. I don't think I need to go into detail.
Nope.
But I was playing in a basketball game. It was at a high school charity game. It was called Key Club, and there was a big fundraiser we did. And I was a sophomore at the time. And sophomores usually didn't play in the last hour of the game because that was reserved for all the upperclassmen. So, you know, they kept putting me in the game, and I'm like, what the heck you guys keep putting me in the game for? I'm not supposed to be playing at this point in the game. This is for all the big shots, you know. But they kept putting me in the game because they wanted to use a line, you know, using the name Bones, which is a name for something else. And when I made the shot, of course, they said, you know, erection by – something or another, and the crowd broke up. The PA guy said it, and he heard that story, and he wanted me to tell it. I'm like, I'm not going to tell that story over the Brewers radio network. But he loved it because now he had something, you know, to go on me and had on me, and he had multiple nicknames for me. I mean, he had nickname after nickname, and that was an endearing quality. If he gave you a nickname, you sort of knew you were in his club a little bit. And that he liked you when he gave you a nickname. So he gave me a bunch of nicknames, and, you know, still to this day, he would call me, oh, hey, how you doing, Slime? How you doing? You know, yeah, that was just one of them. There were others, but all colorful, of course, and delivered only in the way he could deliver them, too, because he just had a way of doing that. You know, I talked about his humor and his timing and his wit. And he was just, like I said, one of a kind, a very fortunate to have worked with him this long. And fortunate to be a friend to him and to his family, Judy, his wife, and his kids, you know, Steve and Sue and Leanne and Bob Jr. and his wife, Kathy, and daughter, Emily, and just good people.
Great people. And I think of everybody in the booth that last time after Game 3 ending the way it did, but just having everybody around for that final game, Kent, and you know, just being a fly on the wall for that scene, I think that was obviously wanted to win the game, of course, but to have the people that loved him most around him in what turned out to be his final game, I think is what was most important about saying goodbye to Bob Uecker last season.
Oh, absolutely. And Jeff Levering's tribute at the end of the game in the post-game show was very, very moving. And, you know, so many people, Dom and Gabe last year, wanted the Brewers to win a World Series for Uecker. You know, they knew Uke was, you know, 90 years old. They didn't know how much longer Bob was going to do it until most of us thought he'd be back for year 91, his 91st year. But they didn't win it. But that was the locker room sentiment. You talked to people after the game when they got eliminated, and you heard players, whether it was Christian Yelich or even some of the young guys like Mitchell and Frelick and other guys, you know, they all wanted to win a World Series, and they wanted to win it for Uke. And that tells you volumes about his relationship. Bob was really one of the guys down in the locker room. He had his own locker. You know, he was a guy who was down there every day. Bob did his prep work by sitting there and talking with the guys before the game, at their lockers and in the dugout before games, with the manager and with the press corps. I mean, he was one of the guys, and he threw BP when he was younger all the time when the Brewers were back at County Stadium. So he was just one of the guys, and, you know, it's a sad day that a lot of the guys down there lost a friend, and he could communicate with anybody. And I was saying this to somebody else today, in that when Bob met somebody, he made that person feel like they've been a friend for a long time. He made a connection with that individual, and that individual would walk away saying, like, yeah, hey, I sort of feel a little closer to you, or I seem like I knew him a little bit more because he made him feel that way. And he was able to make connections with people, and he made connections with guys who were old timers in the locker room, guys who had been around for 40, 50 years, and even the young guys. When all the new young guys who came into the game and the Brewers team, you know, they didn't know who Bob Uecker was. Some of these young guys, they had no idea his career and his past. They knew he was big with the Milwaukee Brewers, that he was their announcer, but they had no idea that he played for 8 years, you know, that he was a very good defensive catcher, baseball player, maybe not the best hitter, but, you know, today he might have been a very successful hitter. Who knows, the way the game is thinned out or how many more players are playing the game, you know. He could have been a very successful hitter. But he was able to connect with guys young and old, and it was really cool to see when you saw that dynamic between him and the players. And he was always a player's guy, always a player's guy. And, you know, he would tell us about announcing games, and he would tell all his partners and announcing the games, you know, you hear guys that are sort of getting on players and sort of ripping players because they made an error or something. And Bob would say, hey, you know what? Guys make errors. It's human. You know, that's just part of the game. I don't need to rip on a player or anything. I can point out that he didn't make the play, but that was from his player's mentality because of the fact that he played the game. He knew how tough it was to play the game. And he just said, you can still point out what you need to point out, and you're disappointed that this so-and-so didn't make a play, but you don't need to get on guys or go on and on about someone not making the play. You know, he would always say the players are the guys who know or feel the worst about the fact that they didn't locate a pitch or they didn't make a play or they didn't get the big hit. They feel worse than any of the fans. So he had a great perspective from that way, and that's how he broadcasted, and that's how it came across. You know, when he's on the radio and in people's living rooms and people's garage and people's headphones when they're cutting the lawn, you know, he's the fabric of the broadcast in people's lives. And that's why he was so beloved, because he was part of people's lives through that broadcast.
Kent Sommerfeld, longtime Brewers radio engineer, joining us here on ESPN Wisconsin. What's your go-to Bob story?
You know what? There's so many. I mean,
that's why I asked. There's got to be a go-to one, right?
No, you know what?
Rotate them around?
No, the go-to thing for me, for Bob, and it wasn't so much a story, but it was a call. It was a game, the Easter Sunday game, mm-hmm. when Dale Swaim and Rob Deere hit the home runs, and they came back against the Texas Rangers. Just the enthusiasm in his voice, the way he called those two calls, and the way they came back, that was during Team Streak. You know, when they won a bunch of the games to start the year, you know, they had won 12 in a row. George Webb gave out hamburgers. It was 13 in a row. It was just an amazing start to a season, you know, and I vividly just remember that call and the excitement and the fun he had doing that game. And he just loved being at the ballpark. Bob's place and his heaven on earth was the ballpark, the people, the relationships, being at the ballpark. He didn't want to be anywhere else, you know, and he had chances to go elsewhere. I mean, I remember George Steinbrenner tried to recruit him to go to New York. And you know, he told George, you know, no, I'm a Milwaukee guy. I love Milwaukee. I love the people here. I love the Milwaukee. I love the Braves. I love the Brewers. I don't want to go anywhere. But George was recruiting him hard a couple times to come to New York. And could you imagine what his persona would have been in New York and how much bigger? I mean, he was big already, but imagine he would have been way, way bigger had he been broadcasting in New York. He would be unbelievably legendary. He's already a legend and an icon, especially here in Milwaukee and in baseball circles. I mean, just the things he did, not just in baseball, but out of baseball, whether it's the Johnny Carson shows. And Johnny Carson told him, and he told us this, Bob said, you know what? Johnny Carson told me one time that anytime I came out of that curtain, he started laughing. He couldn't stop laughing because he met Bob, and the first time he did him, he had no idea really all his background, but he made him laugh so hard. So every time he peeled that curtain back and started walking on stage with Johnny, Johnny would be in a laughing jack. And he said Johnny told him that was one of the few, if not the only guys that ever would make him laugh like that as soon as he saw him in person. And he just did that in Mr. Belvedere, Major League, all the stuff he did, the Miller Lite commercials. When you think about all that he's done and the rich life he had, you're like, man, I was thankful to be around some of it and enjoy the ride. And, It's been a blast, and I'll miss him. I'll miss him a lot.
Let's go ahead and hear those calls that Kent was just talking about from Team Streak Easter Sunday 1987.
Gantner, there he goes. The pitch, a swing and a fly ball, right field and deep. Get up, and get out of here. Gone for Swain, and they've done it again. 12 in a row on a two-run blast by Swain to win it. Oh, my goodness. Holy cow, do you believe it?
Kent, thank you so much, bud, for coming on and sharing your thoughts of a dear friend of yours.
Yeah, very dear friend, and our condolences go out to his family, Judy, and you know, the rest of the family, Bob and Kathy, and Steve, who's not with us anymore, and Leanne, who's not with us, but Sue is still with us. Our hearts go out to the family, and I know it's a tough time for them, but we're all grateful for the friendship, the memories, and we just are just thinking of them and hope the peace and comfort is brought to them over time. And we'll just forever remember Bob here in Milwaukee and in the state of Wisconsin and around baseball, and be thankful for who he was and what he meant to so many people.
Thanks so much, Kent. Appreciate you, man.
You got it, Dom. Gabe, thank you.
Kent Sommerfeld, longtime radio engineer, producer of the Brewers Radio Network, joining us here to share his thoughts of his friend, Bob Uecker, who passed away and was announced earlier today at the age of 90. We'll continue to take your reaction, your calls, your texts, and share our thoughts and stories as we continue on ESPN Wisconsin.
Celebrating the life of the voice of Brewers baseball. Rest in peace, Bob Uecker. You're listening to Special Coverage on ESPN Wisconsin.
Tying run at the plate. 4-2 New York. The pitch, a double play ball hit to Lindor, and the throw is going to wind up with a double play. And the New York Mets, after coming from behind with a big four-run ninth inning rally. Wow.
We didn't know it at the time, but those were the final outs that were called by Bob Uecker on the Brewers Radio Network. Longtime voice of the Brewers, passing away at the age of 90. Gabe Neitzel, Dominic Catronio, with you as we celebrate the life of Bob Uecker. Still plenty of great guests coming, and you can share your thoughts on what Bob meant to you, to your family, at 800-990-3776. I saw this on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to run this by you. So our friend Dan Schaefer, to give him credit, from the recombobulation area, tweeted this out. We should rename the former Miller Parkway to Bob Uecker Boulevard. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Dodgers,
right?
Like, did that, Vince Scully Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, this is that there's, and I know they used to be Miller Parkway, and now, you know, some of it's renamed, some of it's not renamed. Let's just all come together in Bob Uecker Boulevard, and it can be that forever.
I'm in. Yeah. Say less. That's not something that needs a lot of debate to get it done.
No, you just need someone to, you know, whoever in power that can get that done. Let's get on that right away. And I know, seeing some of the stuff from social media as well, I know we were talking with Alex Stroh, our teammate here at ESPN Milwaukee, who went to the ballpark, a tribute memorial right in front of his statue. A lot of people showing up with flowers, hats, couple of Miller Lite cans, I think I mm-hmm. saw there as well, of people just trying to figure out how to cope with this, because again, it's just he meant so many things to so many people despite not personally knowing him. You felt like you did.
Well, like, remember when he had to take time off for his heart surgery, and that first game back, and the crowd and the applause, and when they finally showed him on the Jumbotron, I wasn't living here at the time, and I remember that. I remember seeing that connection of just for missing him for a few weeks when he went through his ordeal with his heart, and just seeing and even this year on opening day, right? He worked the home opener on that Tuesday, sold out crowd. It was awesome. As soon as he saw himself on the Jumbotron, they only ever show Bob on the Jumbotron once a year, and it's opening day. He gets up, he does his thing, and the crowd is incredible. And then I think of 2023. Yeah, 2023 wild card, threw out the first pitch, threw it to Bob Jr. That thunderous roar, or when they were honoring him in 2022 because they didn't get a chance to in 2021 and 2020 and all that. They kept pushing back that he put it in a pitching machine.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, he came out for the first pitch.
The little things.
And you should have seen it coming because he's got a curtain over the pitching machine on the pitcher's mound, and he comes out waving at everybody. And then, I mean, it was classic Bob Uecker to have a pitching machine out there, throw that in there so he could fire a strike to the plate.
Oh, my gosh, it was so great. And I think one of the cool things about covering the Brewers, obviously, is everybody always asks, how's Bob doing? What's going on with Bob? How's Uke? And I think one of the things that Bob did so well, and I mean this in a complimentary sense, is he kept to himself in a way that was, he'll let you know if he needs you. He's good. And if you want to go say hello, go say hello. And he understood in the later stages of his career that people were going to want to spend more time with him. And I think of earlier this year, Bob Costas came by to do some content with Uke and longtime partners back in the World Series. And it's funny, you can go back and watch the 1982 World Series on YouTube. And Bob's in there, Gary Giola's in there. And Bob Costas, as a 20-something fresh out of Syracuse, is there doing it as well. And just think of all the memories that those two guys shared. And here's Bob Costas coming back to Milwaukee to say hello to his old friend and just getting a few minutes with him, just what it meant to him as a young broadcaster, right? We think of Bob Costas as one of the standards of the game. Well, he credits Bob Uecker for his upbringing, right? The tree of Bob Uecker is so large. The roots go so deep. And we'll be talking to one of those roots here in a little bit with Len Casper, too. And I think of all the people that have been touched in a professional sense, from a broadcast sense, learning from Bob Uecker, the guy who didn't see himself as a broadcaster, is, I think, a beautiful thing. And he's a Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever do it, bar none. And the lives that he touched in his on-air work, whether it's, like you said, wrestling or Johnny Carson and everything but baseball, and his actual day-to-day, the people he interacted with on a daily basis, that I was lucky enough to consider myself one of those people.
Well, we have a clip with Bob Costas and Bob Uecker.
Now, here's something. Just came to mind as you were telling me this story, and we can't fill in the particulars, but if your friends show up in the booth,
yeah,
somebody you like, somebody you trust,
yes,
right, you've been known to do parallel broadcasts.
You were part of it.
Yes, I was. Use the cough button. So now it's, so here's Joe Jones, utility infielder, hitting 262. Then you hit the cough button and offer some ridiculous, often off-color assessment of the situation for the amusement of the people in the booth, then release the cough button in time for the next pitch. There was an art to this.
I do that when people who don't really know what we're, they're in the booth for the first time, right? And I can, push that button down. It's
so
right in
shocked.
Front of me.
They think this is actually part of the broadcast.
Did you hear what he just said?
I remember one time I'm in the booth, and I would bring some friends sometimes just for the parallel show that's going on. Like, and so, I won't mention the name. It's like, so, here's so-and-so. Former MVP, popular with all the fans and ballplayers. Fat, overrated, bleepity, bleepity, bleep. Foul, back to the screen.
The cough button is a godsend. It really is.
I know Norm Macdonald had very similar stories that he would tell when he made late night rounds, and that became part of the Bob Uecker lore as well.
You know, part of the Uecker lore, too, and we all know he's funny. Okay, we all know that. That's not a take. But you bring up Norm, and I think of Norm and some of the titans of comedy in the 70s and 80s, that back then there were these roasts that weren't televised or shared or split up into a million pieces that we can watch on social media. Like, you had to be there. And every single one of those titans of comedy in that era said Bob killed. Bob was the one. Bob was the funniest one of everybody in the room. And a list of who's who that are up there doing their own bits, trying out material. And Bob was the one that always killed it. And I think of that. I think of, Norm passed a few years ago, too, and they had a friendship. And I think of all of the things that maybe was on the cutting room floor for Bob. think of all the jokes he didn't tell and all the jokes that he had in his back pocket. I would love to see the drafts and the process of writing his Hall of Fame speech. Because, again, I said it at the top of the show. I'll say it again here. If you have not watched Bob Uecker's Hall of Fame speech from 2003, Every single joke still hits. He has got dozens of Hall of Famers sitting behind him, crying, laughing. I am not exaggerating. Crying, laughing. Seeing Henry Aaron, seeing Willie Mays, seeing, you know, just the list goes on. Bud Selig there too. Everyone is just side split, hunched over. And Bob, deadpan, perfect delivery. What's so funny? What's going on? Just like, hey, what's so funny? And it just was incredible. I just, as somebody who is, we're in a world of performance, if you will, and the way that he always kept it under control was amazing.
Well, here's some of that Hall of Fame speech coming up in just a little bit. We'll continue to hear from you. Call us, text us, Car Blues Talk and text line 800-990-3776. Share your thoughts of the late, great Bob Uecker passing away today at the age of 90 as we continue on ESPN Wisconsin.
Rest in peace to a legend. Bob Uecker has passed away at the age of 90. Celebrate the life of Mr. Baseball right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
We sit below the Marlboro Man.
Hader ready again. Here it is. Swinging fly ball in the right center. Broxton is there. And they're the champions. They have done it. Celebrating at Wrigley Field. They are the champions. Oh, baby. What a way to wind it up. To celebrate in St. Louis and to celebrate here at Wrigley Field today against division rivals.
Brewers clinching the Central in game 163. Of course, Uke on the call. Celebrating the life of Bob Uecker here on ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Gabe Neitzel along with Dominic Catronio. And Dom, you have mentioned a number of times that Hall of Fame speech that you have gone back and listened to and watched. I'm sure you are not alone. Let's go ahead and hear a little bit of that snippet of Bob Uecker's Hall of Fame speech from over 20 years ago.
Of all the things that I've done, this has always been number one, baseball. The commercials, the films, the television series. I could never wait for everything to get over to get back to baseball. I still, and this is not sour grapes by any means, still think I should have gone in as a player. Thank you. Thank you very much.
There it is, boys.
The proof is in the pudding. And to all of you baseball fans around America and any place else, for your letters, your thoughts, your kindness for all of these years. It's been a great run, but number one has always been baseball for me. No matter what else I ever did, baseball was the only way I wanted to go. I thank you very much for your attention today. Thank you for having me, and congratulations to everybody here. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Even when he's doing the heartfelt thanking everybody, he's got to sneak the joke in.
Of course. I think that was one of the more anticipated speeches of that year, too, in 2003.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just everyone knew, and the Ford C. Frick Award, as broadcasters know, it's kind of had an interesting history where sometimes they have to go back and honor the guys in the 30s and 40s that were the pioneers of radio, and then it has a more modern winner, right? So when Bob won it in 2003, he was kind of sandwiched between some of those lesser known guys, but the way that Bob just delivered it, like he would any other speech in for that matter. And when I think of Ford C. Frick Award winners, right, I mean, that's Hall of Fame, and I love the should have gone as a player joke, but he even told a story about Necro and about catching, being his personal chaser, not his personal catcher. I just, the little things of history that you think about, and I saw this tweet earlier too, of the fact that Bob Uecker was teammates with Warren Spahn and called Jackson Churio's games in the same lifetime. You know, Warren born in 1921, Churio born in 2004. What a life in baseball.
Len Casper is the voice of the Chicago White Sox, but of course has roots back here in Milwaukee. He will share his thoughts on Bob Uecker as we continue, coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin.